It's official. Philadelphia has officially become the first major American city to pass a tax on sweetened beverages. This afternoon, City Council voted overwhelmingly in favor of a 1.5 cents per ounce tax on sweetened and diet beverages. Joining me now with the latest updates is WHYY's Katie Culinary. Katie, it's a big victory for new mayor Jim Kenney. How did he react to council's vote today?
The mayor said that he felt gratified. Even though it's not the full 3 cents per ounce he asked for, he's still going to get almost as much money as he wanted with the addition of diet drinks to the mix. And most of that money is going to fund the priorities that he ran on, expanding pre-K, community schools, and major investments in parks, recreation centers, and libraries. After the vote, Kenney was asked what he wants to see in 5 years after the tax is rolled out.
That our poverty level is less, that our kids are more educated, and our kids are happier and safer, and that our rec centers look better than the suburbs.
It's also worth noting that he did something that his predecessor, Michael Nutter, wasn't able to do. Nutter tried twice to pass a soda tax, and council never cooperated the way it did with Kenney.
Okay, so a sugary drink tax, but I heard you invoke diet drinks. Just how broad is this?
Right, so this would apply to soda, iced teas, sports drinks, energy drinks, and diet drinks, anything that has artificial sweeteners added. It doesn't apply to drinks that have 100% juice, for example, but it will also apply to fountain drinks, like the kind that you get at restaurants and movie theaters. It's also worth noting that some portion of this tax, maybe not the full amount, will be passed on to consumers. It's a tax that's levied on the distributor, that's the person who sells to, you know, the corner bodega or to the supermarket that you buy from, that then sells it to us. And so the distributor is likely to pass on some percentage of this tax to the retailer, which will then apply to us.
But it is discretionary, first off, on the part of the distributor.
Right. But we've seen in Berkeley, California, for example, which is the only other city in the country to have a sugary drinks tax, that anywhere from 30 to 70% of the tax got passed along to consumers there. So it's safe to assume that the same will happen here in Philadelphia. So the price of your sodas, your sports drinks, is going to go up a little bit with this tax.
Now, predictably, the soda industry fought hard against the tax, apparently putting more than $4 million into an ad campaign against it. Towards what end? Are they giving up now?
No, in fact, just the opposite. Here's Anthony Campisi. He's a spokesman for the No Philly Grocery Tax campaign, which was funded by the soda industry.
We're obviously incredibly disappointed that City Council would pass this tax. We think it's unconstitutional. Former Chief Justice Castile thinks it's unconstitutional, and so we're going to take the city to court to protect low-income families in Philadelphia and Philadelphia small businesses.
What's the legal gist of their contention?
The soda industry has two arguments, Dave. One is that the tax violates the state's constitution, which says that a tax can't target a single item. That's known as the uniformity clause. The city argues that there's some wiggle room there and that it's okay as long as the tax can be justified. The second argument the soda industry makes is that these drinks are already subject to the state's sales tax and that it's illegal for the same items to be taxed twice. The city says this is not a sales tax, again, because it would be levied on the distributors who sell to the retailers who sell to us.
Sounds like both sides are lawyering up. And is Mayor Kenney concerned that a legal challenge could hold up his pre-K and parks initiatives?
The mayor seems pretty confident that it won't, but here's what he had to say on that score this afternoon.
We're ready. We believe we're on strong legal ground. We'll see what they do, how they do it, how they approach it. They spent a long time twisting the facts of this whole debate on television with millions of dollars, and that wasn't effective. So we'll fight the next fight when it comes.
All the same, the city is planning to hire outside legal counsel for this court battle, which opponents of the tax say could be an indication that the administration is a little bit worried that it's actually not maybe on such solid legal footing.
Katie, if soda consumption has been on the decline for decades now, and soda companies are already changing their product lines to reflect that, why are they fighting so hard against taxes like this?
Well, Dave, there's a lot at stake. There are other cities in the country that are watching Philadelphia's battle closely. There are soda taxes on the ballot in San Francisco and Oakland, California, as well as in Boulder, Colorado this fall. I had a chance to talk with some folks out there recently who've been literally watching for every bit of news in Philadelphia and if the soda industry had won in this case and the soda tax was defeated in Philadelphia, that would be a huge knock against those other cities that are trying to pass these initiatives, because they were worried the soda industry would come in and say, see, even Philadelphia didn't want this, and that would spell doom for those initiatives. But with this victory in Philadelphia's pocket, these other cities are seeing a real opportunity to get these initiatives through.
For Philadelphian consumers who don't want this, isn't it relatively simple to just go across city lines and make your purchase elsewhere?
Well, that is one argument that's been made over the last several months of debate about this tax, that maybe like cigarettes, for example, when those went up $2 a pack a couple years ago, that people will just, you know, go to New Jersey or go out to the suburbs to buy their cigarettes. In this case, you know, it remains to be seen, because council did some interesting things in its final negotiations. Kenny wanted a 3 cents per ounce tax on soda and sugary drinks. Council changed that to 1.5 cents per ounce on sugary and diet drinks. So you don't necessarily have the option of switching products, which was one of Kenny's original arguments. And so because it's a more broad-based tax, there could be a greater chance that people will leave the city to buy these drinks. On the other hand, because the tax rate is going to be lower now, the city is only estimating that consumption is going to drop by about 27%. Under the original proposal of 3 cents per ounce, the thought was that soda consumption would drop by 55%. So that's a pretty big decrease.
Lastly, at the onset, when it was considered to be a 3 cents per ounce tax, it was thought that all of that money would go toward pre-K. How is that pie being split now?
Right. So, of course, when you have negotiations between 17 city council members, you know, they want to have a little bit of a piece of that pie. And there are certain things that they asked for in order to sway them to voting in favor of the tax. So I have the breakdown right here. And about the big selling point of this tax was the expanded pre-K. And so about $49 million per year is going to go to pre-K, and $20 million is going to go to 20% of the tax revenue is going to go to other things that council negotiated for. So still a big chunk, but the majority of the revenue that's coming from this tax, which is estimated about $90 million a year, is going to be going to the initiatives that were promised: pre-K, community schools, and this big investment in parks and rec centers.
Katie, thanks so much for breaking it down for us.
Thank you, Dave.